Hallelujah. How he loves us. How much. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's why the old timers would sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Why? Because, oh, how he loves us. Amen. If we knew how much he loves us, we wouldn't frustrate him so much, because we think he's not going to bless us. And we think he doesn't have our best interest at heart sometimes. Oh, he does. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to preach anyway. I think we need it. And I know there's been some renewing in the Holy Ghost up here, and different things have been going on. But I feel like we need to hear the Word of God. You have to forgive me for my voice. It's not because I used it a bunch at camp. I used it some, but not much, and it just kind of left. And a lot of people were having that, I guess, in and out of the air conditioning and heat and different things, and it just had a negative effect. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to preach to you this morning. There is no substitute. There is no substitute. In 2 Kings chapter 10, let me read this real quick, and then we'll get into this message. Verse 15, when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said unto him, is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. Now watch what he said. And he said, come with me and see. Everybody say, and see. My zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. Now I'll stop there for now. Praise God. There is no substitute. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you. Very good. Very awesome for our worship team. Give them a hand, the whole team. Praise God. They did an awesome job this morning. Amen. In this journey that we call life, there are many things that we can find substitutions for. We don't have the right thing, so we look at what we do have and we substitute one thing for another. If you've never done anything, and if you've never had to do that, you've probably never done anything. Amen. My wife has found, and we were not arguing about this. I was just trying to jog her memory. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. And so as I tell you this, just be aware that someday you might get a birthday cake. Somebody already did. Did I look at something? Somebody already did, where the substitution has been made. It's all right. You didn't know it. You didn't know that eggs had been substituted. Did we figure it out? Was it Coke? With Coke. Coca-Cola. Because she got on, you know, Google has become her best friend. Pinterest and Google, because you get on there and find out you can substitute yogurt for something else. Or substitute, if you need yogurt in a recipe, you can substitute something else for yogurt if you don't have it. There are all kind of substitutions out there in everyday life. Anybody that don't know what duct tape is never has done much. Duct tape, it replaces or substitutes for screws, for clamps, for plumbing parts that you don't have. You know, if you don't have it and it's leaking, slap some duct tape on it until you can go get the part. Amen. If it's good duct tape, it'll work for a little while. In a church service, we substitute chairs for piano stands sometimes. especially when the stand collapses while Jeremy's playing. We've done it before. Brother Wilson won't like this one. You even substitute me for a preacher sometimes. I knew that would get him. That's why I put it in there. In sports, there are always substitutions. In fact, the NBA created an award many years ago for the best substitution. How'd you like that, to win that award? It's called the Sixth Man Award. Any NBA basketball fans want to guess who the greatest sixth man in NBA history has been, and they say he still is to this day? His teammate that many others would know is a guy called Larry Bird. The sixth man, I remember when Larry Bird was winning championships, and I thought Kevin McHale was the starting forward alongside of Larry Bird. He was not. He was the sixth man. 2 years in a row, he won the sixth man award. 1 year, he averaged 18-plus points per game as the sixth man. The next year, he averaged over 19 points per game as the sixth man. And many believe he's one of the reasons that they won the championship in those years. But there are some things that there is simply no substitute for. If you don't believe that, then get out of your car and experience that awful feeling that the moment you turn the door loose, you understand that the keys are in the ignition. There is no substitute for those keys. You've got to get them back out some way. There's no substitute. In sports, you might have the sixth man award. You might have the sixth man, but you cannot replace Michael Jordan with a sixth man. You cannot replace the superstar with the sixth man. Amen. In heat or in cold weather, and if it's extremely cold, you cannot. There is no substitute for heat. Well, I can pile enough clothes on. You will ultimately freeze to death if you get in cold enough weather. You cannot pile enough clothes on. Amen. Mike is probably going, I don't know about that, because that's how he dresses when it's 10 below. Right there. He might. He's got a furnace inside of him that produces heat. Amen. You cannot live. There is no substitute for water. There is no substitute for oxygen. And friend, there is no substitute for love. But the one thing that I want to deal with this morning that my message is about today is there is no substitute for passion. There is nothing to replace passion. Amen. And we all have it somewhere. Passion, the necessary ingredient for a successful, a good, fulfilling life. You've got to have some level of it. The dictionary defines passion as strong and barely controllable emotion. That's number one. You know what number two in the dictionary is? It's amazing to me. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ is the definition, the dictionary definition of passion. I'm telling you, you cannot live without passion. You cannot be saved without passion. Passion drove him to a cross. Passion kept him nailed to a cross. Amen. Passion. It defines what it is. Passion is that seemingly invisible force that takes one beyond. Passion takes you beyond yourself. Well, that's just not me. Passion never allows this excuse to put a lid on possibility. Come on now. Passion will not allow you to say, well, that's just not me. That's not who I am. Passion causes us to discover the hidden potential that lies inside of us and inside of the presence of God. Passion takes us beyond the possible into the impossible. Passion takes us beyond the average into the extraordinary. Passion turns mundane into daily exhilarating experiences. Passion turns common into extra special, peculiar kings and priests. Do you get that? Call not what I have cleansed common nor unclean, because I have put passion in them. Amen. Passion turns an execution into the center point of human history. Passion turns the death of one into the life for all. Passion turns a fisherman into an apostle. Passion turns a church persecutor into a church planner. And you might say, but Pastor, I thought the Holy Ghost did that. And yes, it does. Isaiah 9 and 7. Anybody quote Isaiah 9 and 6? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now verse 7. Of the increase of his government, that government that's on his shoulder, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And then the last phrase, the reason, Brother Wilson, that you and I can be saved. The reason there's no increase of his government, or there'll always be an increase of his government. There'll always be an increase of his peace, Brother Jim. The reason for that is because the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. And if you look up zeal in the dictionary, one of the synonyms for zeal will be passion. Amen. The passion of the Lord of hosts is why that suffering child, that child born in Bethlehem, that son given on Calvary is actually given. It's the passion of that Father. It's the passion of our great God. Amen. The passion that says, I will not allow them to remain lost. Passion. You and I have this great salvation because of the passion of Christ. The Holy Ghost is the prescribed capsule of the passion of Jesus. The Holy Ghost, we take it. It puts inside of us his passion. And there is no substitute for passion. Psalms chapter 69 and 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And then Jesus in John chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge or a whip of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. It's hard to imagine Jesus, isn't it? Walking in with a whip and walking. Doesn't this just blow your mind about your picture of Jesus in your mind? He's got this little whip and he walks in and starts. I don't think he's beating the air. He walks in and starts. Bah! Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out. Get out. He grabs chairs and tables and throws them around and says, get out. He grabs their money and turns it over and throws it on the floor. Jesus? Jesus? Yeah, and if you read carefully, Brother Wilson, it looks like he went through there the night before. This was premeditated. He saw it the day before, and I can just imagine him weaving the whip, the braid. Never been a braid so tight in all the world. And all night fuming. Can you look at what they did? Look what happened. Go to the next verse. And said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, and make not my Father's house and house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Go to one more, Psalms 139, or 119 and 139. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Notice that me is consumed by zeal. Passion, Brother Jim, will consume me. Passion, Charlie, will get me, Brother Charlie, out of the picture. Passion will cause I to no longer be the controlling factor in my life. How it feels to me, Brother Vince, will no longer matter because passion has come in my spirit. Passion has got into me, and passion will consume me. Jeremiah 20:9 said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." This is the prophet. He has preached, Brother Wilson, until he's tired of preaching. He has preached until, and they have not listened, and he's sick of it. He's done. "I will not speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay or stop." He preached on. For another 30-some chapters, he preached on. Why? Because there was a passion burning inside of him, burning down deep within him, and he could not stop it. Listen, Spurgeon said, "We will never love Christ much except we live near to him." No one throws their passion away purposefully and willfully, but is little by little that our first love, our passion, our zeal is lost. Sometimes it's business or busyness. Sometimes it's the love of money and the love of things and the want of being just like everybody else or ahead a little bit of most. Knew this and knew that. Amen. I've got to have the best always. And I've got to live like the world lives. And little by little, our passion, our love fades. Listen to me. Passion will cause spouses, and especially spouses, but also those closest to you, to think they have lost you. They married someone else. They aligned themselves as a best friend to someone that they did not really know. When passion comes, these kind of things are said. All they want to do is talk about God. All they want to do is just go pray. All they want to do is read and study the Bible. They want to witness wherever they're at. Doesn't matter where you go, they'll embarrass you because they're always wanting to talk about God. And it seems like they want to go to church every night, it seems, and special services. We get home late, we wear ourselves out, and still they press. Why? Because passion has been awakened. Passion has taken over. He goes without sleep, or she goes without sleep. Doesn't put extended family even first and acts almost like they don't exist. I'm talking reality here, folks. I'm talking about passion getting a hold of someone. I'm talking about passion moving somebody. If your spouse catches fire, you better get close and catch fire as well, or you'll be left out in the cold. You'll be left wondering, why is this person acting like this? Why is it that we're so far apart when we used to be so close together? Because someone has caught fire of the Holy Ghost. That's why. Passion of God. Hear me right now. A world passionate about sin. You hearing me? A world passionate about sin like the one we live in requires a church passionate about Jesus at the same level. A world passionate about their sin, passionate about making new ways, inventing new methods to sin, needs a church that's inventing new ways to worship God and to give themselves to the Lord. That instead of running with headphones on and listening to a bunch of garbage, they're running and they're listening to Jesus or somebody preach or teach. Brother Meeks was introducing Brother Woodward at camp, and he said, "He's my exercise buddy." And of course, I think Brother Woodward probably looked up like, "Really? We've never exercised together ever." Brother Meeks went on. He said, "All the time I'm running on the treadmill, all the time I'm lifting weights, all the time I'm in the exercise room, he's right there with me, teaching me, because I listen to him constantly. He's my exercise friend." Why? Because Brother Meeks has a passion to know God. He has a passion to understand the Word. And so he does not waste time. In fact, he builds things into his daily schedule. And when passion takes over, that's exactly what will happen. Passion moves us. Back in 2 Kings, this man that said, "Get in this chariot and see my passion for God," his name is Jehu. In 2 Kings 9:1, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophet and said unto him, "Gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee and tarry not." So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, "I have an errand to thee, O captain." And Jehu said, "Unto which one of us?" And he said, "To thee, O captain." And he arose and went into the house and poured the oil on his head and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel." And the young man left. This anointing, though, it didn't come from the young man, Brother Jim. It came from the prophet. It came, Jeremy, from the prophet that has the double portion. It didn't come from a prophet that just has a single portion. Elijah was supposed to anoint Jehu. He did not. Elijah was supposed to anoint him. He didn't do it. Elisha, the man with the double portion, anointed him. And if a man with a double portion can anoint someone and him turn him into what Jehu became, how much more can the Lord Jesus Christ anoint us and make us something different than we ever thought we would be? Elisha has a double portion. How much does Jesus have? Hebrews 1:9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Thy fellows means everybody else that's ever been. He is anointed above them. And that is the one that is anointing us today. Come on, can somebody get excited about that? There's an anointing on you. 2 Kings 9:16. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. Notice, when you are anointed of the Lord, there is immediate action. When passion comes, and there's not a lot of difference between the anointing of God and the passion of God. Passionless preaching means it's unanointed preaching, pure and simple. Passionless singing means that it's unanointed singing. Where there is no passion, there is no anointing, or very little. Amen. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. But when passion comes, Brother Wilson, there is immediate action. Not 10 days, not 10 months, not 10 years later, but right now, Jehu climbs in the chariot, says, I got to go, boys. Where are you going? I'm going to become king. When there's a king already in place, Brother Jim, and you've been anointed king, that means that guy's got to get out of place or you're not going to be king. There's about to be a war. He goes, Brother Wilson, he gets two in one shot because he finds not only the king of Israel there, he finds the king of Judah there visiting him. And before the day is done, Jehu has taken the life of both of them. Verse 20, and the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again in his driving. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. Notice the word furiously. It's too bad Brother Patterson is not here today. Who else here drives furiously? Jacob's turning and looking for somebody. Fingers are being pointed at Shauna on the back row and at Charlie on the back row. Furiously they drive. Furiously they drive. They drive without fear nor favor. Without hesitation, they barge into oncoming traffic and it's either stop or get a hit. When the sign says 50, it's a personal challenge to see if 75 will work. Furiously they drive. Jehu drives furiously from a long distance. They could tell this is Jehu coming. How can you tell? I can tell by the way he's driving that chariot. It's Jehu coming. Listen, passion is easily identified. Passion will identify you. And you can see and feel passion a long way off. And you can tell who's got it and who doesn't have it. It doesn't take a lot to see who's got passion and who doesn't have passion. Amen. Our script reading, I won't read 24 through 27. He slays two kings in one day because passion will destroy the enemies of God. Passion won't let possible enemies of God even live. Amen. Passion will take full control of the situation. Verse 30, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face and tied her hair and looked out at a window. And as Jehu had entered in at the gate, she said, had Nimri peace, who slew his master. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. Passion will identify those that are for the Lord and those that are not for the Lord. Passion will cry out, are you with me? Passion will. It'll identify those. First part of chapter 10, in Ahab's entire house has destroyed all of his descendants because of the way that he lived his life. Passion. Elijah prophesied. Hear me now. Elijah prophesied that this would happen. Passion fulfills the prophetic word of God. If you've had prophecy spoken over you, if God has given you visions and dreams, the only way those will come to pass is that your passion must rise to a level that was saw in that dream. You must pursue it with that level of passion. If you do not, then that was what God's will was for you, but it will never happen unless that passion comes. Amen. And back to the scripture that I read early on, 15 and 16 of chapter 10, verse 16. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Passion is visible. Passion is very visible. Amen. There's a lifestyle that'll surround passion. You can see it. Amen. I have people that tell me I shouldn't do what I do. You shouldn't be do too many, you do too much. I can't help it. You're just a workaholic. No, God gave me something. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God gave me, Brother Jan, an identity that I didn't have. Amen. Listen, Paul talks about being indebted to Christ. Indebtedness cannot be taught. Indebtedness has to come from within and from the experience of being intimate with your Lord and Savior. You can't get indebted by going and listening to great preachers at conferences. You don't get indebtedness because you attend camp. You don't get indebted to Christ. That high from camp will wane in the time and the season as we go away from it. It'll just decrease. How many has been there and saw that happen? Come home from camp up here, and then in a short period of time, back down here, because nothing changed inside in the daily activity of the person. Amen. And so passion destroys. In verse 18 and 19 of chapter 10, Jehu gathers all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal and all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it subtly to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. Passion destroys false worship. Passion destroys idols. It brings them out of the dark and shows who is for the Lord. Does anyone need a dose of passion this morning? Let's stand. Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Anybody want to know great things that you don't know? It's not accidental that Jerry Jones has preached camp meetings for 30 years. It's not because he was born with a silver spoon, anointed silver spoon in his hand or in his mouth. It's not because of that at all. It's because that when everybody else, the young preachers, were going out to eat and doing their thing and talking about and sitting around and talking about having revival and having the gifts of the Spirit work in them and having things happen in their life, it's because they could not find him with them. He was not found with those young men that were sitting around talking about it. He was somewhere on his face or had his face stuck in a book called the Bible. He was somewhere crying out to the Lord when everybody else was asleep. He was doing something different. When everybody else said, I'm tired, he said, Pastor, what more do you need done? Pastor, I need to do more for God. Can you give me something else to do? How can I get close to the Lord? That's what he was saying. It's not an accident that Raymond Woodward can teach like he can teach. He's from a family of teachers. Yes, he is. His dad was a high school teacher for many, many years. I think his sister is still. And it runs in their genes, but that's not the reason he knows the Word of God like he knows it. I've saw him stand in a restaurant in line and have an iPad out and look over, and he's not on email, he's reading a book. Saw Carlton Coon waiting for me a few minutes. I told him a certain time lobby of a hotel, I'd meet you there. I was right on time. He was 3 or 4 minutes early. He just sat there and watched people, looked at Facebook. He was reading a book when I walked up on his iPad. It's not because that they were handed something on a silver platter. Amen. It was because passion was in them so strong. They didn't care what everybody else did. A young man named Corsi, he preached one time in Ozark. Young evangelist, he said, he preached, who will go to hell and build a church? Hell, Michigan is a real town. I looked it up after he left. He had been there. Hell, Michigan. And there's not one church in Hell, Michigan. And he preached, who will go to hell and build a church? Brother Wilson, you and I both have tried that. Hallelujah. It's spelled a little different, but it's about 35 miles from here. Amen. He said, he's on the evangelism, full-time evangelist. He said, you know, bunch. He's from western part of Kentucky. He said, a whole bunch of us young men from the section decided we'd get together. Once or twice a month, we'd get together and we'd have a prayer meeting. And we would pray because we want to be moved by the God. And we want to do something for God. He said, I think he went to two of them. He said, I sat there, Sister Shauna, per our conversation before church, okay? He said, I sat there and I listened to him talk. And I listened to him talk. He said, we never did pray. Twice, I think, is what he did. He said, I did it twice. And on the way home, I told my wife, these guys don't want revival. They want to talk about it. He said, my wife and I went on a 3-day fast. He said, I stayed away from her. She stayed away from me because we don't do too well when we're both on 3-day fast. He said, we kind of hid from each other. I went to the barn and I prayed a lot out there, and she prayed in the house. And after that, he said, I told her we're going to go on the evangelism field full time. There was only one slight issue, Brother Wilson. They never had a car. They didn't have a car right then. They hadn't been married very long. They're young. And she said, how are we going to do that? He said, I don't know, but we're going to do it. And Grandpa called and said, hey, you know that old car I got in the barn? Hadn't been running a while. It's a big old boat car. You know, one of them big old ones that floated when you hit a bump. You know, that's why they call them a boat. They floated. And no car today rides like one of those did. You'd run 175 miles an hour, too, if you get them stretched out, right? He said, that old car that nobody wants, nobody, he caught dead in it. You can have it. All right, Grandpa, I just said we're going on evangelism field. And he said, we started, and they became busy just a few years ago. They were in Pennsylvania again on the western side. He's been evangelizing since, except he started a church in Mount Vernon, Indiana, and then came across the line into Illinois and started one in Carmi, Illinois as well. You know why? Because passion wouldn't let him be like everybody else. Passion wouldn't allow him to be like everybody else. Listen, if you want this, if you want a ministry, if you want to be something in the kingdom of God and do something, then get passion this morning. Say, how do I get it? You get it from God. It only comes from God. Don't worry about those that don't have it except to pray for them. But you get it. You get it when everybody else won't. You push when everybody else quits. You press when everybody else says it's impossible. Amen. Praise God. If you want passion, then come. If you want passion, just come. Lift your hands and say, God, help me to have passion. Jesus said unto Simon, he said, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. What's causing that? Passion. 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 Passion causes that. Passion causes that. Come on, this week, today, God, fill me with passion. God, fill me with passion. Pastor, I have no peace. God, fill me with passion. Pastor, I don't know how to break into it. God, fill me with passion. God, I need passion. God, I want passion. God, I want the passion of God inside of me. I've got this and I've got that, and you don't know where I'm at. No, but I know God, and I know every story that of men that have succeeded in life in the kingdom of God. There has been passion. There has been passion that caused them to go there. Come on, pray until passion fills you. I'll succeed in my walk with God. I'll write books. I'll write songs. I'll preach. I'll teach. I'll invite people to Sunday school. Come on, passion does that. Passion causes you to come to an altar when nobody else comes. Passion causes you to go to a prayer room when nobody else prays. Passion causes you to practice when no one else practices. Passion causes you to study when everybody else goes to bed. Passion causes the games to be pushed back. Passion, 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 passion. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the passion of God. It drives us into a place where the condemnation can't touch us. It drives us into a place where the affairs of life around us are just so temporal, they really don't have an effect on us. Passion causes us to go beyond anything that we've known, beyond the normal, beyond the average, into a realm of the supernatural, the superabundant. Hallelujah. 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 God, challenge us with passion. Challenge us to get passion, Lord. Challenge us to become passionate, God, for you. Challenge us to become passionate for reaching the lost. Challenge us. Hallelujah. Passion will cause you to declare by this time, in 2 weeks from today, I will have a home Bible study. I will be teaching someone the Word of God. Passion will cause you to do things that everybody will look at you and think you are absolutely crazy. Come on, passion moves us to a place like we've never ever been. Be baptized with the passion of God right now. Passion, hallelujah, will get us out of bed early, cause us to stay up late. Passion, hallelujah. Passion will push us out of our comfort zones. Passion will cause us to desire to change, not just fight change, but desire to change. We desire to be like you, Lord. We'll have to have an answer to the words of God and to the words and the things we're being taught. Passion will push us there. Passion, hallelujah, hallelujah. Passion, God, I've got to have passion. Come get in my chariot with me, and I'll show you my passion. Show me, hallelujah, hallelujah. You'll see my passion. You'll see it. You'll see my passion. Your passion will cause you to waste your money on the kingdom of God. That's what the world will tell you. Your passion will cause you to waste your time going to Bible school and seeking after God. That's what your passion will do. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Your passion will change you. Your passion will identify you. Hallelujah. Your passion will either make you and turn you into something, or cause it to be spoken of you. If it's a lack of passion, you'll be named, and on your tombstone, it'll be written, "Here lies a man that could have been, but he lacked passion." Hallelujah. There's a move of the Holy Ghost in here right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of you, everyone here just needs to be sensitive to the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, He'll fill your mind with the things that will rob you of your passion. Right now, if you'll just listen to Him, He'll begin to talk to you about things that will rob your passion. Hallelujah. 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 Well, all I'm seeing is me. All I'm seeing is what I'm going through. And then you are robbing yourself of the passion of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus, hallelujah. I left out the end of the story of Jehu. The end of the story is that Jehu destroyed all the Baal worship in Israel. He destroyed every bit of it. All the priests, all the high places, he destroyed it. But sadly, Vince, that's not the end of the story. Either out of fear, not sure it doesn't really say for him. All it says is that he did not depart, though, from the sins of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin when he built golden calves. And he allowed Israel to continue to worship the golden calves. His zeal was so strong in all that he did that the Lord told him through a prophet, someone will sit on the throne of Israel for four generations. He was one of them. Three, son, grandson, and great-grandson of Jehu would sit on the throne of Israel because of Jehu's obedience and fulfilling the word of God. However, he would be judged. Just like Ahab's house was judged because he did not depart from all the sins. There is a reckoning day in your passion. There is a defining moment in your passion, in your pursuit of God, when you come up against something. There's one more thing that you need to do. I'm not saying that, okay? There's one more thing that you need to eliminate. And if you do it, you may be as David. David wasn't promised four generations. David was promised forever there would be one sit on the throne of Judah. Well, is that going on now? His name is Jesus. He is of the lineage of David. He forever sits on the throne. Yes. Because in David's defining moment, David submitted himself to God and got rid of that thing that would have destroyed him. He sinned greatly with Bathsheba. There was something inside of him. But when Nathan the prophet pointed his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man," David fell on his face and repented, and never walked that way again. And because of that, God was able to bless him forever. There's a defining moment in your passion. Somebody here is up against it. You're trying to decide to go on or not to go on. And in case you're wondering if I'm talking to someone that I've already talked to, I am not, I don't think. You're battling something inside you, and you could very easily just be someone that comes to church. That's what you think in your mind. But you cannot be.
God has called you to something much higher than that. And you've got to press through this thing right now. It's a defining moment for you. It's not for everybody. You know who you are, and I think I know. But it's not even important if I know, unless the Lord wants me to know. There are things that need to be done. We're living in the end time, folks. Amen. The news is prophecy, fulfillment of prophecy written every day. And that guy that lives in North Korea is going to turn one of those things loose one of these days. If somebody didn't cast the spirit of Hitler back to the pit where it came from, then if there's one guy alive that it lives in today, it's probably him. And you know what he did? Those spirits don't die. They just inhabit other people. We're living in the end time. We don't have time to mess around. Amen? There's too much to do. God is calling us to be that passionate people. Amen? That'll die for Him. But that'll also live for Him. Amen? I don't believe there's heaviness here. I don't want to end with a heavy note. I believe that God has come to us and talked to us. He told us at Purpose Institute a few months ago in a message from the Holy Ghost, Spirit, tongues, interpretation, you have desired their buildings. You have desired their people. And when you desire it more than they desired it, I will give it to you. But I won't give it to you until then. Our passion has to be there. Our passion. Amen. I love that lesson, Brother Jamie. I've been praying about never telling anybody anything about what I might be going through or might not. Just in case it sounds like I'm complaining. God, I don't want to complain. My strength is made perfect, or His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So if He wants to weaken me, then I ought to be happy about it. Amen. I ought to come and worship right in the face of that. Praise God. He's making Himself strong. Jim, I've prayed for His strong hand to come. Amen. I want that, Brother Kyle. I want that. If I have to become weakened for that to happen, so be it. Amen. So be it. Oh, do you know what you just said? I do. That's not easy. I didn't say it's going to be easy. I know it's not easy. Been there, done a little bit of it. But you know when I read that about Tori, when I read about Paul, shipwrecked thrice, a day and a night, floating in the deep. He didn't say it, but with shark fins running around him. Beaten with rods, twice, I think. Beaten with the cat of nine tails, 39 stripes, three times, I think it was, or four. Stoned and left for dead. And the answer, the remainder of that story is they prayed Him back to life. He was dead. And you know what the dummy did? He got up, walked back in that same town, and preached again. They had a change of heart. They didn't have a change of heart. They wanted Him dead then too. Man, what kind of passion is inside that guy? I don't know, but I'd like to experience it. I don't want to experience the rocks. Kristen, keep the rocks in the purse, okay? I don't want to experience that. Anybody, nobody in his right mind wants that. You had to be dingy. Really, you had to be dingy to say, oh, I want to suffer God. Let somebody shoot me today in the arm, both arms. Nope, I'd just soon not. I want to go to prison for you and live. Nope, just soon not. Amen. I may want the passion of God. I believe we're there. Amen. I know we've kind of had a bump and low. It's the summertime. I know all of that, but I don't know about you, but I'm done with that. Amen. We need to press now. We need to fill this house. Let's invite somebody that wasn't here today. Let's invite them and get them here either Wednesday or next Sunday. Amen. Somebody new, let's witness. Praise God.